When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Taryn Winterbrill, host of Bestseller TV on C-Suite Radio. On this show, I sit down with leading business authors to find out what makes their books stand out from the crowd. With thousands of new business books and titles being published each year, we try to make it just a little bit easier for you to decide which ones are worth the read. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bestseller TV. I'm Taryn Winterbrill. We're here with Jeremy Berger. He is the author of Rethinking Information Technology Asset Management. Jeremy, great to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
First off, congratulations. This is your first book.
Thank you. Yes.
So Jeremy, to kick things off, can you tell us, for anyone who's not familiar, what is Information Technology Asset Management? And am I saying the acronym correctly, ITAM?
ITAM, yeah. That's usually how most folks pronounce it. So ITAM is a segment inside service management that deals with getting the most value out of your hardware, software, server, systems, what have you, that are necessary for modern business to function. At the same time, you want to try to keep the total cost of ownership as low as possible. And so asset management is at the forefront trying to fight that two-front fight. You have to spend money on IT. There's just no getting around it now. It's expected. It's demanded. Really, at this stage in the game, you can't imagine life without it. And then at the same time, though, you can't just keep feeding the beast. At some point in time, you've got to say, look, is this really worth chasing good money after bad? Why are we constantly spending on cybersecurity tools and, you know, say, Acrobat, photo production, teleconferencing? What kind of return are we getting from that? And is there a better way to use those dollars that, you know, might be better spent on other things like employees, like salaries, like, you know, stock returns? So,
okay. So that said, tell us a little bit more then about why it needs to be rethought based on the title of your book. Is it just from a financial perspective?
Well, a bit. See, so here's the issue. In 2016, a article was published by Gartner that suggested that medium and large organizations could cut their software spending by about a third if they implemented a software asset management program. And it could be done by doing just three basic things. One is recycling licenses that you've already purchased instead of buying new ones. The second is making sure that the software features that you're buying actually line up with what work is being done, right? And then the third one is having a system to accurately measure how you're doing this work so that you are not unduly punished and penalized by software publishers that would come in for a software audit, right? Sounds like basic stuff. However, just in the last year, Deloitte published a study that says 84% of CIOs surveyed say they do not get a return on investment on that SAM system. So that is a severe disconnect between all of this money that should be out there for organizations to recover and redirect, but over 80% of the CIOs are saying they don't see it. It's not there. So that obviously tells us that there's an opportunity. And what I realize then is that it is time to rethink, really, what's going on. My experience as a asset manager practitioner has not been the case. All of my organizations have seen that 30% come back. And dare I say, if I could brag, sometimes we do it in the same budget cycle within 12 months. And that's really neat, but obviously it is unique and it shouldn't be that way. So that's why the book, we need to rethink what we're doing and why we're doing it, because we are obviously, as an industry, missing the boat.
Okay. So the fatal flaw, you would say, is those three items you just listed?
Well, actually,
there's more, but wait, there's more.
It goes deeper than that.
Okay.
What I realized is that there's really only two methodologies that organizations follow when it comes to their assets. And in the book, I describe it as transactional and accountancy. Okay. With transactional, nothing happens without a receipt. You need a new piece of software. You need to onboard a new person and buy a new computer for them. You need to put in a ticket with the help desk and say, hey, I need this. And what if the software isn't working? Then you put in a help desk ticket and says, hey, this thing isn't working. You gave me
I've been there, right? Many times.
So the assumption is that so long as everybody is filling in their tickets, then you will know where the hardware and the software is. Does that happen? No. So then you've got the other methodology, which is accountancy. And very basically, it is comparing what's on the left hand of the ledger and what's on the right hand on the ledger. And where they mismatch, you write it off and hope that it doesn't come back to cause more confusion, right? So in order to know what's out there, usually what you do is a physical inventory. You send a whole bunch of people into the building and they sit there and count up all the serial numbers and what kind of software is on those serial numbers. And the problem with that is it's time consuming, it's costly. And as soon as they walk out the door, somebody changes something behind their back and it's out of date.
Right.
So neither one of those activities work.
C-suite radio.
Yeah, it's a bit of busy doing nothing in both of those scenarios. Yeah.
Almost. So yeah. In my book, I realized that we need a third methodology, and I call it, and it really needs to be based upon epistemology. Now, most people would look at me and say, Jeremy, I thought you were Catholic. No. Epistemology is a segment of philosophy that deals with logical operations and the study of truth, right? Philosophy is a root, is the love of learning, but epistemology is the study of learning. So asset management, and I say this in the book, asset management is an exercise in epistemology. We should be more concerned about, can we show what's out in our environment, why we're confident that thing is being used out in the environment, and then push back when anybody says, no, this isn't right, or we think that we know better than you. And I knew I was on the right track because in 2017, the ISO/IEC, you know, the world body of all things business standards, right? Everything from light fixtures to rocket nozzles get described in ISO terms. There is an ISO term for asset management, 19770-1. And in 2017, they redid the maturity model to get rid of the old five-tier step stool to just three levels. The first is trustworthy data. The second is applying a proper asset lifecycle. And then the third is optimization of the other two layers. Okay. And my methodology, we call it pragmatic ITAM, because we do love our philosophy, rolls right along with that.
So that said, Jeremy, is there any other book out there that's, you know, delivering this pragmatism? Maybe, is that the way to say it?
Indeed. I am not aware of one. There are some other books that are out there that talk about standards and best business practices and how to read a contract and move assets in a timely fashion through processes. But no, I don't believe there is one that is as concise. My book is only 150 pages.
Right. Okay. Okay. Right. Because just from a perspective of, I'm not in the tech world, I'm curious if your pragmatic ITAM is different from someone else's, or is there only one answer here, or are there options, I guess is the root of what I'm trying to get at.
No, you're right. And that was something that I wanted to make very clear in the book as well, that this is just a methodology to arrive at an answer. All of the major tool sets that are out there, ServiceNow, Flexera, Certero, you know, there's a bunch of them that are out there, really. Somebody's going to get mad for me not saying their favorite. They all tend to get to this answer. And how they get to that answer is great. But what I am really getting to is the internal reports that are necessary to be able to say whether or not your favorite tool is actually getting all the details that you need in order to optimize your software and your hardware spend.
And just to reiterate, in your own personal opinion and based on the data, how many companies are getting this wrong? I mean, based on what that study you mentioned, and Gartner was the name, is there any insight into how many people need to fix the current state of the union?
Let me answer your question with another seemingly unrelated statement, right? In the world, according to LinkedIn, there's only around 35,000 people that are qualified to do hardware and software asset management. In the world,
35,000?
There's just not enough people paying attention to this to be able to do this. So how many organizations are doing this successfully? Very, very few, because there's not a lot of people out there that can actually do the work.
Exactly. Yeah. So that said, why are you so passionate about this topic? How did you get into it as one of the 35,000, right? I mean, not many people are in it, and I'm curious why you are.
Yeah. So it really kind of goes back to the old Y2K bug, if you remember, back at the turn of the century.
Yes.
Everything that, you know, was supposed to go wrong didn't go wrong, because we worked very hard to make sure nothing would go wrong. And but back then, anybody that could, this is going to sound awful, but anybody that could fog a mirror was thrown into the IT department. It's like, we got to fix this. The company that I worked for at the time, advertising display company, for a gentleman named Bill Harley. I still get to speak with him every once in a while. He was a mentor of mine. We finished the project. We survived Y2K. And he was reluctant to let me go as a contractor. So he looked at me and said, you know, we've got this Microsoft enterprise agreement that's getting ready to come due, and I can't make heads or tails of it. Can you figure it out? And I said, you know, sure, because I needed a job. I was just getting married. And and come to find out, I had a talent for it. And little did I realize that that's because I am looking at the problem just slightly different from anyone else.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This has been a fascinating conversation. If you can believe it, we're out of time. Congratulations, Jeremy. It sounds like you've really tapped into something that people need. And hey, look, I really hope there is a second book because you know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I got another one in me.
we shall see. Well, thank you again. We look forward in terms of what's to come.
Wonderful. Hey, thank you so much, Taryn. I've had just a wonderful time speaking with you.
Likewise. And if you'd like more information on the book, just check out our website. It's csuitebookclub.com. That's csuitebookclub.com. I'm Taryn Winterbrill. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time right here on Bestseller TV.
Like what you just heard, visit c-suiteradio.com. C-Suite Radio, turning the volume up on business. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.